As we were looking, or as we were worshiping, the verse came to me in Acts chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 19. And it says this: "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began." But the thing that jumped out at me was that times of refreshing would come from, are you all right? So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So many times the church has not made the Lord welcome, or He cannot manifest Himself the way that He wants to because of things that we allow in our lives. And when we look at the word repent, it doesn't mean, you know, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sins." It means change the way that you think. Change the way that you think about things. We have a tendency as people, religious people, and I say that in the context, we get religious sometimes, that God has to work a certain way in a certain manner, and we get in a mindset because this is what He's done in the past. This is the way He's done things in the past, that this is the way that He's always going to do something. And sometimes God wants us to change our thinking, and it's called repent. Change your thinking. Change the way that you think about things. And this is kind of what we talked about Sunday morning when we were talking about renewing our minds to the Word of God. We like boxes. We like orderly boxes that we fit things in so that we can deal with it. And God is bigger than your box. You know, your mind is about the size of a soda can. And if your mind is a soda can, and God is the size of an ocean, which He's much bigger than that, why do you think that God could be confined to what's inside your soda can? You could fill up your soda can, and you think God can be contained in what you can understand, what you can perceive, what you can conceive with your limited mind. God wants us to be outside of that so that He's a whole lot bigger than what we think that He is. And His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And the Bible says, as high as the heaven is above the earth, so are His ways above our ways and His thoughts above our thoughts. But it goes on to say that He's revealed them to us by His Spirit. But if we're thinking inside of our little soda can, and this is the only way that God can do something, then we kind of limit what He can do in our lives. And He wants us to change our thinking. Because there's times that God wants to just show up and bring refreshing. We need refreshing in our lives. And tonight I just feel like it was just a time of refreshing. God is bringing us to a place. I mean, some of us are tired. Anybody feel just tired? It's very easy to get weary and doing things for God and working for God and being hooked up. But there's times that God just wants to take the stops off, and He says, "Here, just be refreshed." And you know, we need to let Him do that. And I think that's one of the things that happened in this service tonight. And it's okay. I said that's okay. When God wants to show up and do that, we need to receive that. Well, that doesn't kind of fit my understanding. Good. Good. God didn't do it the way that I wanted Him to, thought that He would. Good. Good. The picture of what the church has been has changed through the ages. The way that the church looks has just changed through the ages. If you went back and looked at the early church and you look at the church now, it's changed and it's needed to change. God is the one who doesn't need to change. We're the ones who need to change. And we're the ones that don't like change. And you get to quit changing when you're perfect. And until you get perfect, you got to change. And maybe some of you think that you're perfect is the reason that you're not willing to change. But I remember as in my upbringing as being a United Methodist, we had a program. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The program? And that program had a list of stuff that we were going to do in that service. And if it had an asterisk by it, that means when we did that, you stood up. And when that asterisk wasn't there, you sat down. And we had prayers that we repeated. And we had responsive readings. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in our minds, that's the only way that God could do anything. And I learned, after I became a Christian, and I became a Christian when I was 19, that God was not confined to my little Methodist box. And He's not confined to your Church of Christ box and your Catholic box and your Assembly of God box and your Baptist box. You know, He's not confined by any of that, any of our theology or all of that stuff. God just wants us to let Him be God, and He wants to bring change. And this is what repentance is about, change. And we the last few years in our church we've gone through some changes. And I've had a hard time dealing with some of it. I'll just be honest with you. I've had a hard time dealing with some of it. Some of it I haven't even liked. But, you know, what does that have to do with what I like or don't like? Sometimes we think that God ought to do what we like. But He didn't confess me as Lord. He didn't confess me as Lord, did He? I confessed Him as Lord. And He's the perfect one, and I'm the imperfect one. And I want Him to change to suit me, and He wants me to change to suit Him. You said, well, what right has He got to do that? Because He's perfect. And when He's Lord and He sees, when God inhabits past, present, and future all at the same time, and sees all and knows all and has all, He's got the right to give the directions. And what we have got to learn to do is to follow the directions, which if it means changing, yeah, but we've never done it that way before. So, you know, in a lot of ways, we're in uncharted territory as a church. We're going places we've never been before. Now, I remember back in the day when we used to make the same lap over and over and over and over and over and over. This is why people stay away from churches, because they keep making the same lap over and over and over and over and over. And they never change, and they don't change their thinking. They become crystallized, and then they become fossilized. But that's not what God's looking for. If we're going to see what God wants to do in the last days, as far as outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that's what He wants to do. I believe God wants to bring a revival. We're going to see two things happen in the last day. We're going to see falling away, and we're going to see revival. People are going to fall away. The Bible talks about the agape of many will wax cold. But at the same time, I believe that there is going to be a coming to the Lord. I want to be the part that doesn't fall away. I want to be the part that goes too. And that means that when God moves, that we have to move with God. Because if we stay where we've always been, we're going to get left behind, and we're going to get cold in our hearts. We're going to get cold in our hearts. In a couple of weeks, we're going to start life groups. And we're going to do a study called Crazy Love. That's really a challenging study, and it's a whole lot about being lukewarm. It's going to challenge the lukewarmness that's in our lives. And every one of us have areas of our lives in where we're lukewarm, all the way from not having a relationship with God to having a relationship and have grown indifferent about some things. And I think God is calling His people into a place that we are not going to be, we're either going to be cold or hot and not lukewarm. And I think you can describe the American church right now, by and large, as being lukewarm. We worship at the altar of convenience. God, if I can fit it into my schedule, then I will do this for you, and I will go to church, or I will read my Bible, and I'll pray. Lord, if it fits in my work schedule, God doesn't want to be part of your life. He does not want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. And when we make Him our life, then He orchestrates the rest of our life. And He makes it work. He makes the work schedule work. He makes the family stuff work. He makes the social stuff work. He makes the rest time work. He makes all the rest of it work. But when we try to do it, all we do is we become lukewarm and indifferent about the things of God. And what we need to be willing to do is to change the way that we think about things. What does it mean to make Jesus Lord? Because this says, repent and be converted. This may be talking to Christians. This may not be talking to unbelievers. This may be talking to Christians. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord was here tonight. You say God's everywhere. Yeah, but He's not everywhere manifested. And what we want to be in the place is where He's manifested. Because where He's manifested, change takes place. You cannot be in the presence, the manifest presence of God, and be unaffected. You can be in the manifest presence of God and decide that you don't want to be there. And you can go from that. But you'll not remain indifferent about the manifest presence of God. Because when He comes in with purpose. And when He comes in with purpose, there's something that He wants to accomplish. And let me tell you what God is after. He's after the heart. He's after the heart. Yeah, I gave Him my heart. Yeah, but you took it back. You prayed the prayer so you wouldn't go to hell. That's not what He's interested in. He don't want you to go to hell, but He didn't want you to pray the prayer just so you wouldn't go to hell. He wanted you to pray the prayer so that you could be a follower of Him and He could be glorified through your life. And we've got to come back to that. We've got to come back to that first love. Remember when you first got saved? Remember the fire that you had? And I know some of that was emotional, but that's okay. You had a zeal. You had a hunger for the Word of God. You had a hunger for the things of God. You wanted to learn, and then you grew up, or you thought you did. And then you kind of took on the attitude, well, I'm mature now. Well, you're not as mature as you think you are if you think that. Honestly, you're not. We always need to be in a place where we're looking and examining our hearts. We're judging ourselves. I'd rather judge Nancy than judge me. She's easier to judge. I mean, I can see her faults. I can't see mine. You see mine, but I see yours. But I want to judge you, and you want to judge me, when all along we're supposed to what? Judge ourselves. We're supposed to look at ourselves. Because I can't do anything about Nancy. I've tried. I can only do something about me. And let me tell you, if you're a judger, can I say this? I'm going to say it. You need to shut up. You need to hush. You need to quit judging people. You need to quit being critical of people, and you need to turn that on yourself. You won't be near as critical of yourself as you are, and you know, you'll judge yourself in the light of the Scripture. Make the changes, bless you. Make the changes that you need to make in you. I shouldn't have said shut up, should I? Okay. But we ought to, if you're doing that. You ought to just do that. But make the changes that you need to make in you so that you can go on with the things of God. I can go on whether you do or not. You can go on whether I do or not. But it begins with the changing of the way that you think. And changing the way that you think has to do with this right here. Now, we were going to talk about Psalms 1 tonight. We'll talk about that next week. But this feeds right into that. Because we were going to talk about the two mountains in the Old Testament. And one of them was the mountain of blessing and the other one was the mountain of cursing. And what they did on one occasion is they set the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, the manifest presence of God. It represents Jesus. And on one mountain there was the mountain of blessing, and on the other one there was the mountain of cursing. And this is the mountain that God had said at one time. He says, I set before you this day blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. And I think that's kind of where we're at as the people of God. That we see that we have this great covenant that's represented by the Lord Jesus Christ, or that's represented by the Ark of the Covenant. It's has to do with God's presence. It has to do with His anointing. It has to do with His covenant. And God is standing in the midst and He says, on this side there's blessing and on this side there's cursing. He says, choose life. There's death, there's life and death. There's blessing and cursing. He says, choose life. Choose the mountain of blessing. And then He defines what that is. And this ties right into Psalms chapter 1. And it talks about what the blessed man is like and what the cursed man is like. God does not determine the blessing or the curse in your life. You determine that. I do not like the theology that says, that puts it all on God. God did it all when Jesus hung on the cross and paid the price. What else does God need to do? I mean, the price is paid. He says, okay, I've set it before you. Now you choose. And if you'll choose it, you can have the blessing. But if you don't choose it, or you choose the wrong thing, then guess what? The curse. And it has nothing to do with what God wants, because God wants the blessing. God wants the blessing to happen in our lives, but we have to choose it. And that reminds me that the Scripture in Proverbs, it says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I'll just be honest. Our mouths have been our own worst enemy. But your mouth can be your best friend. When we learn to speak the end result, when we learn to speak the Word of God, when we learn to say what God says about us instead of what we believe about us, then we're going to begin to find out where we're going to see the curse that we're living in, or the defeat that we're living in, turn into a blessed life. Because God called you. The Bible says that you're complete in Christ Jesus. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He's not up here looking and say, okay, bless, curse, bless, curse, bless, curse, bless, curse, bless, curse. No, he says, blessing. But you still have to choose it. Okay? And this is what we as Christians need to learn how to do. And it goes right back into this Scripture. It says, okay, repent. Change your thinking. Change the way that you think. Be willing to change. Be willing to change. We ought to be anxious to change. But you know, most of us don't like change. But we ought to be anxious to change. If God is moving in a particular direction, then we ought to be anxious to follow that. Is that scary? Yeah. Especially if you hadn't been there before. It's a little bit scary. I've been scared a whole lot lately. I've been in uncharted territory for me. And I've been criticized for it, but I don't care. I've been from the outside and the inside. I can handle the outside. It's the inside that's painful. When it comes from the people that are supposed to love you and you're supposed to love, it's a little bit painful there. But I'm a big old boy and I can put my big britches on and handle it. But I don't like it much. Okay? Word. That's just a word from God there. But this is the scripture that come up. I had a whole other lesson I was going to do, but this is the scripture that rose up in my heart as the presence of God came in and the prophetic word that was given a while ago. Is that kind of fit right into what we're talking about? God's prepared something for us. But we need to humble ourselves. Our egos, our pride, our opinions, our maturity. We need to humble all of that and say, God, you know, I just want you. I want what? I want you. I want you. Well, I got all of God when I got saved. Baloney. You hadn't got all of God yet. God's so big. I like what the kid said. You know, God is good. God is big. I'm glad I found out that He was good before I found out how big He was. Yeah. You don't know how big God is. He's huge. If He's bigger than His creation, He is huge. And you haven't got it all. You haven't contained it all. You hadn't absorbed it all. You scratched the surface. And when you're thinking with your little soda pop can mind that you're all of this, you ain't all that. That's why we need to pop the top and say, God, you're out here. I know you're out here and you're bigger than what I can think and can conceive. And Lord, I'm willing to learn. God give you a brain big enough that you can contain what you need to contain. But when you think you're that sharp, you can't contain God in your theology doesn't contain Him. Your concepts don't contain Him. He's a whole lot bigger and wants to do a whole lot more. But one thing, always know this, that God is always consistent with who He is. He never acts any different than He is. And he told the children of Israel, He says, I am the Lord God and I change not, therefore you're not consumed. He says, if I acted any different than I am, I'd be mad at you and you'd be dead. He says, I'm the Lord and I don't change. My mercy, you know, all of those things, He says, and therefore you're not consumed. I'm not moody like you are. I'm not up and down like you are. I'm not inconsistent like you are. I don't do it this way one time and this way one time like you do. He says, I don't change, therefore you're not consumed. So God is always consistent with who He is. Hello? And we can count on that. And that's good. God can be consistent and mysterious at the same time. And I guarantee you, you don't have all the handle on it yet and won't, but let's keep reaching for what God has because He wants to do something good with this church, with this people, in this town. He wants us to be part of the universal body of Christ where He wants to do something great so that Jesus can come back and we can go home and wrap this deal up and enjoy the next phase of what He's got for us and it'll be awesome. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for just interrupting our service tonight. Thank you for taking over. Thank you for Ashley's obedience to follow you. Not just cut it off, but just to follow. Thank you for the word that you've spoken to my heart that I shared with your people. Thank you for that scripture. And Lord God, may we be willing to be repentant in our hearts and minds and attitudes. May we refuse to look at you through Methodist eyes and Baptist eyes and Word of Faith eyes and Assembly of God eyes. And look at you through the Word of God, because your Word is immeasurable. And you're a whole lot bigger than any of us and any of our ideals. And Lord, we just want to follow you, and we're willing to change to do that. Bless your people tonight, Father God, as we go forth from this place. Speak to us and let us know what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Say something.